and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr., the man who is so happy to be your host, as well as your loyal producer, opening up the program again with our theme song, No One Else, by Gregory Stafford. His original, composed and performed by him. And ladies and gentlemen, I want you to join me today as we get ready to talk about shutdowns and necessities of life, particularly food. Food, food, food. How long could you go without food? Ladies and gentlemen, of those of you who are listening to me now, how many of you know what it is to go from paycheck to paycheck or from week to week wondering if you're going to be able to eat the following week? How many of you know what it is to have to sort of ration the food that you do have to try to make it last from one day to the next, much less from one month to the next or from one week to the next? Rationing. Hey, look, you can only get so much of this. You can only get so much of that. How many of you know what it is to consider it a treat to be able to drink tea or Kool-Aid or juice rather than always, always, always drinking water? Not that there's anything wrong with water. Water is great, probably the most important beverage that we can drink. But I think that we have probably figured out that consuming the same thing all the time can get kind of monotonous. Whether we're always having to eat grits, I mean grits for breakfast or dinner, because remember, there are some people who know what it is to have only one meal a day. Sometimes one meal a day, but only 3 or 4 days out of the week. How many of you know what it is to choose between buying groceries for the month or buying medication for the month or paying half of the rent for the month? So do we go hungry? Do we risk being put out? Wow, what a dilemma. What a choice to have to make. And yet, that is the choice that our president has exacerbated for many people. Of course, now we're in this temporary ceasefire. For a few weeks, the government shutdown has ended. But our president has made it clear that just like he meant it last year when he said, we're going to shut down the government if I don't get my wall, my almost $6 billion more money for my wall. He means it this time when he says this is just going to last for a few weeks. And then if necessary, I'll shut the government down again. You suppose he'll have the support from the rest of the Republicans in Congress that he had this first time around? He's ready to shut the government down. He is ready to shut the government down again. Remember now, there were people who are already hurting before he shut the government down with the support of the Republicans in Congress, the House and the Senate, the Senate and the House, Republicans in full support. We have a few Republicans now who are saying, hey, look, this is not right. But we only have a few, roughly a handful of Republicans saying this is not right and no longer supporting it. The President of the United States, looking forward to causing pain for many, many people. And again, It is not just the 800,000 that we hear about. It is the 800,000 plus many, many, many more. I've shared with you the problems with regards to research being put on hold and the many people who are affected by that, by those holds. The many people whose businesses are negatively impacted when the 800,000 have their finances negatively impacted. We're more like in the millions of people being harmed. And I think it is so sad that we have the President of the United States of America who makes the comment, it's mostly Democrats who are being hurt by the government shutdown. You would hope that the President of the United States would be honest, at least when he says, when he claims that he is going to be a president for all of America, you would hope that he would mean, at least when it comes to the two major political parties, he's going to be looking at. But how? How can he? He says during his inaugural speech, he's the president for all of America. And he's deliberately hurting millions of Americans. And Republicans, you shouldn't take comfort in hearing the President of the United States comment that suggests that he's okay hurting all these people, all these families, all these children, all these elderly, people who may have good health now, but based on the stress that they'll experience, may not be so healthy mentally, psychologically, physically, down the road. And our president saying, well, it's mostly hurting Democrats. It's like Lee Atwater and other Republicans saying, hey, look, we know that what's going to happen is going to hurt white people, but it's going to hurt black people more. Essentially, our president saying, hey, look, we know that this is hurting Republicans, but it's hurting Democrats more. And you still say that you're doing the right thing by supporting that kind of president. We're looking at what the Center for Budget and Policy Priorities is sharing with us about the government shutdown and its impact on SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, SNAP. And again, I know that there is a truce, if you will, a temporary ceasefire, however you want to look at it. A temporary government end to the governmental shutdown. But I still want us to continue this discussion that I began before the truce was called, before the temporary ceasefire was called. Now, I know some of you might be thinking, wow, that's kind of strong, call it a temporary ceasefire. But this really was an attack on people who posed no threat to our president, none whatsoever. An attack on their livelihoods, which means an attack on their well-being. An attack. We're going to shut the government down. We're going to freeze their income. Yes, we know that that'll make it hard for them to pay the rent or pay their mortgage. Yes, we know it's going to make it hard for them to pay their car notes. Yes, we know it's going to be even harder for them to keep food and medicine flowing into the house. Yes, we know it's going to put tremendous amount of stress on them by the millions. Yes, we know that, and we're going to do it. What an attack on his own people, on the citizens of the country that he is supposed to be protecting, taking care of, looking out for. I want us to continue to look at this because some of this may come back into play if the negotiations don't go the way President Trump wants them to go. We were looking at what the Center was sharing with us with regards to the fact that millions faced having their cuts made to their SNAP assistance if the shutdown either were to continue. I'm bringing it back up again because, again, I want us to consider this, because if the shutdown is resumed, does all of this come back into play? There's an announcement that instructed states to issue February 2019 benefits early, by January 20, explaining that that would allow the USDA to rely on a provision of the just expired continuing resolution, or CR, continuing resolution, CR, which provides an appropriation for programs like SNAP to incur obligations for program operations within 30 days of the CR's expiration, the continuing resolution's expiration. USDA was planning to work with each state agency individually to adapt its regular issuance procedures, that is, when it pays benefits to households, to accommodate the change. USDA is optimistic. They were optimistic at the time that states and their electronic benefit transfer, EBT contractors, EBT, electronic benefit transfer contractors, which operate the cards that households swipe at the store in order to redeem their SNAP benefits, would be able to make these changes, though some challenges might have emerged in the coming days and weeks. As a result of the early issuance, most SNAP households would have access to their February SNAP benefits in late January instead of on their regular issuance date in February. States may have also needed to have adjusted the timing of March benefit issuance to prevent households from experiencing too long a gap between monthly benefits. According to USDA, about 15 states normally pay some households SNAP benefits after the 15th of the month. If these states don't also accelerate their issuance of March benefits, those households would experience nearly a two-month gap between SNAP benefits, and in some cases, even longer. It could have gone from January 20th to March 15th or later. The risk of a long period between SNAP benefit payments is a concern. It would have been a concern even if the shutdown had ended before March, had completely ended, not just temporarily. If not addressed, the delay could place additional strain on local emergency food assistance providers and affect SNAP retailers. There's something that I also want you to think about while we're on this issue of additional strains on local emergency food assistance providers. This is definitely an emergency that our fellow citizens have been thrown into. No question about it. But what about the emergencies like natural disasters striking? Instead of this man-made disaster, natural disasters, tornadoes, snowstorms that are out of the norm, fires wiping out communities. And remember, we've been told for decades now that because of the contribution that we humans are making to climate change, global warming, that there are going to be weather conditions that are going to worsen. They're going to be more frequent and they're going to be more intense, which means, ladies and gentlemen, we need to be thinking about this. We're going to have more emergency situations arising, and part of that is going to include the need to help people eat. We're going to continue to have the ongoing issue of people who are homeless and who rely on food banks to feed them, to keep them fed. We're going to continue to have problems with people losing jobs and needing help eating. We're going to continue to have natural disasters, flooding, severe flooding situations that are going to wipe cities out. And I say wipe them out, they're going to cause so much damage that people are going to need help with food. What happens to those food supplies when we have man-made disasters like this unnecessary governmental shutdown, which again, I know is on a temporary ceasefire? What happens when we have man-made disasters like this, though? Depleting food sources, food supplies at the emergency food assistance facilities. And remember, President Trump has made it abundantly clear that he is definitely ready to resume the government shutdown within a few weeks if he doesn't get his way. If he doesn't get a deal that he likes, and so far he's made it clear he wants the $5.7 billion for the wall. If he still doesn't get the $5.7 billion for the wall, will he resume his government shutdown? USDA didn't say explicitly in its announcement how to cover the cost of SNAP benefits for households whose eligibility for February benefits is not yet approved by their state by January 20. But Brandon Lipps, the acting deputy undersecretary for Food, Nutrition, and Consumer Services at USDA, said in explaining the policy to reporters that state agencies should accept new SNAP applications and that USDA intends for approved applicants to receive benefits on the regular schedule. That might have occurred, for example, when households applied for initial certification after January 20, or for households whose recertification is not finalized by January 20. USDA was planning to continue to have available a $3 billion contingency reserve from the fiscal year 2018 Appropriations Act, which it could have used to cover such benefits. It may have needed to tap the reserve in February in order to fund other parts of SNAP as well. It's such a shame that we're even having to have this discussion, because this is totally uncalled for. Again, the government shutdown is not something that was necessary. There's nothing in law that mandated it. There was nothing that, according to ethics or morality, that mandated or necessitated the call for the government shutdown. This was just the president's preference. This is the way he preferred to deal with not getting his money for his wall. Let's look at this in a little bit more when I come back. In the meantime, I want to let you know you're listening to a song entitled Mile High by the Yellow Jackets.